Well, hello, hello, guys. You're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon, and this podcast is an amazing one. We are talking with Dr. Mobin Master, all the way from Australia, one of my dear friends, Instagram friends. We've connected, and we have learned so much from each other about filler. Today, we're talking about Mobin's revolutionary studies, radiologic studies with ultrasound and MRI, which are detailing how long filler actually lasts in the face. What is the extent of filler longevity? Is it just a year? Big hint, it is not just a year. And what causes filler migration in these delicate areas like around the eyes, the lips? What are the things we need to be doing as injectors and as an industry to make sure that we are treating faces the right way with the right amount of filler, knowing how long it lasts? Let's find out. Tune in and listen to our Instagram Live and sign up for the next one. If you're an injector, I teach an online course. It's called Modern Aesthetic Theory and Artistry. I teach you all my tips and tricks, and we do modern aesthetic chats with some of the best key opinion leaders in the world. So tune in with Dr. Mobin Master and myself learning about filler longevity. Are we ready? We're going to do a modern aesthetic chat. I am so excited. Today is Diwali. It's an Indian holiday and it's a day of good over evil. We are talking to a wonderful colleague all the way from Australia, Dr. Mobin Master. And we're waiting for him to join in. As soon as he joins, we'll be diving into this deep discussion. This is one of my favorite topics because I think as injectors, we really actually have no idea how long filler lasts in our faces. And that is kind of incredible to me. I don't understand why a lot of our companies that we work with haven't done more research on this topic because, you know, we are the test generation for filler, right? We're the first group of humans to have more than just simple oil of Olay for our faces. We now have toxins, we have filler. I see Dr. Master join, so let's add him and we'll dive right deep into this discussion. Mobin Master, if you can send me a request to join and then we will approve it. So if you're on there, Mobin, just send a request to join and then we'll approve it. Really, it's surprising that we don't know more about filler longevity. We think that filler lasts for a year. We tell our patients that. Some of these aesthetic companies have done degradation studies, but very limited, in fact. Well, let me see if I can get Dr. Master. Here we add as a moderator. Here we go. Here we go. Sorry. Always a little weird with Instagram Lives, but we get the okay, there we go. Hello, my friend. How are you? Hi. I know you've had a
good, how are you?
Day. Good, good, good. What did you do today?
The day's still going, so we've got a time difference between you guys. It's midday here, so I've kind of told people if they need a scan or something, I'm not going to be available. I'm in the hospital setting today, so I'm doing 100% pure radiology today, so CT scans and brain scans and ultrasounds and all that kind of stuff. So that's what I'm doing today, and I've got another 5 or 6 hours to go.
Awesome. Well, for those people out there listening who don't know who you are, will you give us a little brief intro, where you're located, what's your training and background, and also wipe your lens because it's a little bit blurry.
Yeah, it's a bit
outdoors.
I'm outdoors, yeah. It's the only When you work in a public hospital space, that's better because what it was the sunlight was directly in my face. How's that? That looks much better. What happens is you cannot find anywhere private in a public hospital. it's somewhere. So I found this courtyard out of nowhere. I don't know where I found it. I walked past and I'm like, this is great. So I'm a radiologist by trade, which is a specialist, a fellowship trained in imaging. That's my area of expertise. And about 5 or 6 years ago, I started doing injectables. And then that evolved into implementing imaging into my daily work and then treating complications. And then the rest, I guess, is history, isn't it?
That's right. You have really branched out. And I think your curiosity about the human face and radiology has almost created its own field.
So tell us a little bit about what you're doing with the use of radiology to image patients who have filler migration, all that kind of thing.
So I think the actual application is quite broad, but I started the application by complications. And what happened was my first case was actually from another injector, Gavin Chan. You've probably seen him all over the internet as well, and I've had interviews with him. You would have heard of him. He rang me and he had this patient that had postseptal filler on MRI that so happened to have been scanned with a private radiology firm called Lake Imaging.
Yeah.
And was the same place that I worked for. I looked up the scan and then he said, how about you do it under ultrasound? I'm like, oh, that's a good idea because I've got the skills. I may as well use the skills. So I ended up dissolving under her globe a bit of stray filler that was misplaced. And she ended up with almost a finished excellent result, but she ended up going into surgery. But she improved the most after that treatment, even despite 10 dissolves over a period of 12 months until she saw me. But then I ended up having two cases that were postseptal filler, and I ended up writing up the paper. And slowly but surely, all these complications started, you know, rearing their heads and saying that, hey, wait a minute, I've got edema in my orbital area and I haven't had filler for over 2 years. Now, at the limit and what's on the packet the drug companies have given us have said 18 months to 2 years, because I think their study's finished then. And this is hyaluronic acid, purely hyaluronic acid. And so I started getting this steady stream of patients, and it seemed to be showing that these patients have denied filler for 2 years, and then MRI showed that there's plenty of filler around, especially in the mid-face. So I ended up using a technique which is using an MRI as a roadmap and using my ultrasound to guide myself into the areas to get rid of old filler and improving malar edema and malar bags in particular. So that's where that started. And then I started using ultrasound to guide myself in to put filler in safely in areas of high stress, like the temples. Mm-hmm. Well, sometimes, you know, this area here, there's a submental, there's an infralabial, there's an inferior labial artery, there's a labiomental artery coming off here. There's all sorts of stuff around this area. So I still use a cannula, but I just check before I inject. So that's the other application as well. So it's not only complications. Oh no, I'm getting sun and UV. The applications are quite broad, and I think pre-scanning or scanning under ultrasound guidance, treating complications, and as I said, you know, the longevity issue, it's because so much is getting pumped in, we don't realize that it's accumulating, and then eventually it can cause a problem. So that's the application of
The eyes in particular are so vulnerable, and it may be because injectors don't have great or perfect anatomy knowledge about the depth of the placement, or it may also be some lymphatic obstruction. In the cases that you've seen with the under eye filler migration, what's the majority of the problem? Is it that the filler is placed postseptal, preseptal, it's in the completely wrong plane, or is it just too much filler? What are you seeing?
Yeah, the vast majority that come to see me, and they're the hopeful ones, the ones that sort of I get a great result and I'm really happy with, we MR them and they say, I haven't had filler for a number of years. They've probably had a number of tear trough treatments, some of them only one tear trough treatment, and years down the track, and a lot of them are over the age of 45 to 50. Their skin is a little bit crepey and doesn't have the elasticity and the usual rebound, and they're more susceptible to it, I've found. And often you see dermal filler in the infraorbital plane, which is superficial. And a squirt of 50 units of Hylase, we don't have Hyalinex, unfortunately, the human recombinant. I wish we did, but we've got Hyalase, which is bee sting based. So if you've got a bee sting allergy, we can't use it. Just 50 units here, 50 units there, and bang, it literally resolves itself. And you do it very carefully, not straight in this way, just superficially like this. And then their malar edema goes, and I had a patient cry the other week. She was so distressed about it for a long time and didn't know who to see. We did an MR. I did the dissolve. And she cried with joy and said, you know, my grandchildren say, Grandma, are you tired? Why you got those big bags? You know how kids are brutally honest.
Yes, I know.
So they're the ones that I can help, and they're the majority usually. And that can often be resolved even in-house, who you know, don't use imaging. It's a lot more precise with imaging, but you could just do a prophylactic dissolve just superficially, being very careful. And if it works, it works. And usually it's immediate, mm-hmm. because you have to believe that the patient could be telling the truth, that it could still be filler. And we never believed it years and years ago. Now we have to believe them and say, well, on the off chance it is, let's do a little dissolve. So they're the vast majority. The second group is lymphatic obstruction. So is it filler, number one? Number two, is it lymphatic obstruction? As we know, the lymphatics of the orbit are drained superficially by your muscle, the sphincter, traction. Now, a big pitfall. People come in and say they've got wrinkles and they've had under-eye filler. If you decide to botulinum toxin them and neuromodulate them, you can stop that sphincter from working. And because the filler is blocking the lymphatics, it ends up the squeezing action is stopped and then the edema is worse. So I've had quite a number of those cases. So the lymphatic obstruction can be superficial, but it's usually the lymphatics, as you know, is deep in the cheek. So if some person does have no superficial filler, but deep cheek filler or under the orbit, SUF filler, I dissolve that in the hope that it unobstructs the lymphatics. These people present again older ages, and as we mature, I like to say, our under eye lymphatics and our whole body's lymphatics starts to deteriorate, as you know, and it's very delicate around there. So in combination with filler, you can get lymphatic damage or you could have lymphatic obstruction.
Yeah, I kind of wonder if we can even ever recover a damaged lymphatic system. And it seems like it would be, we'd be hard pressed. And then here we are injecting Hylase and Hylenex, which itself affects a little bit of the innate tissue integrity. Like we're careful to, I've been more and more careful in my practice to use smaller and smaller amounts of Hylenex, whereas in the past I might put half a bottle or a full bottle under each eye. I actually think that that really hollows people out a little bit too much. So I've really adapted my technique to do much more massage in smaller quantities and kind of disperse it more gradually. Because I think the tissue integrity can suffer otherwise.
It does. And I think it's a shock to the system because remember the deep filler is probably doing something and preventing that hollow trough. So if you get rid of the whole lot, you got to start again. And it's a shock to the system, to everyone.
Yeah. And patients can't tolerate not seeing volume there because they've looked a certain way for a lot of years.
That's right.
Are you identifying different regions of the face where filler lasts longer? Or are you able to kind of give us an idea like, okay, it's going to last longest in the chin and or in the under eyes? Or what have your radiology studies showed us so far in terms of?
The PRS article that was actually published this year, 2022 in Plastic and Reconstructive Surgery, was an experiment on my face and it consolidated longevity. The treatment that we followed over a period of about, I think it was 33 months or so, or a period of, it was 20 to 30 months. It was 2.5 years, well and truly over. It was superficial threads, like the liquid facelift that you can do with hyaluronic acid that gives you a little bit of pull here and tension in the lateral temporal cheek fat, in the jawline and in the lateral temporal cheek fat superficially. Then we did Menton cheek, and it was all videoed. It's all being documented. So you can actually watch the video of my face being, and they've muted me swearing when I'm getting the huge cannula in my face. And the chin area, we used one product, 4 mils. It was Restylane Define.
And 4 mils, that's a lot.
It was a lot. It was a lot. Experiment on myself to really prove a point. And all along the chin area, along the menton and the nathion and the begonium. And what happened was at the 18-month point or a bit less, the chin seemed to have dissolved almost completely. The clinical result almost completely correlated and resolved. And this area, it doesn't move compartments, but it diffused a bit. It sort of flattens. So if you've got threads, on MRI, you actually see the threads start merging together into just a flattish kind of a sheet.
And you mean threads of filler? You mean threads of filler, not like PDF threads?
Yeah, threads of filler, to clarify that, threads of injection filler, where you just do a linear sort of line or fan. So the fan end up meeting each other, but it did never move compartments over sequential multiple MRI. So at this stage, we don't have evidence of migration to other compartments in a human live patient. I think there's been some.
That's awesome.
I think a dead bag is not the same as a live human. The hydration is different. Everything is, the flow is different. The whole body is completely different, alive versus a cadaver. So I think we have to take it with a pinch of salt when we're doing cadaveric versus human live.
Yeah.
So I guess we can say now misplacement is probably more important than migration later.
Yeah.
We like to blame it on, well, must have moved afterwards. I think with the first 2 weeks, you could probably roll it around a bit, definitely. Mm-hmm. But in terms of over a long period of time, this MR showed it did not move. It just diffused.
Should we be changing our clinical practice recommendations and telling patients to wait 2 years in between syringes, or is it premature to make those kind of judgments?
I think just quietly, I'm about to finish a paper. I've got my brother, who's a radiologist, double blind reading the scans and MRIs. It's a prospective and a retrospective study, the biggest one done with 32 patients.
Nice.
What I don't want to do a spoiler, but what I will say is the midface is what it was focused on, and the midface is an issue. So clinical photos. Get a baseline, I think. Injectors need to get a baseline. What did you look like before we started?
Yeah.
What do you look like now? And we have to realize that the face has aged as well, so that's going to change. And if you look at the baseline and then look 2 years down the track and you top up with another couple of syringes and say you're starting to look a bit weird, that's when you go, all right, in 3 years' time, we might have to dissolve. So I consent patients now that this filler may not go away for 8 years. And
your consent form, it says 8 years.
It's a big call, but we have to practice in warning people of everything, including vascular occlusions, which almost never happen, especially now. No. Included ultrasound in my practice. I've had little to no bruising as well. It's really changed the way I work. So I want to consent people, worst case scenario, as we do. We consent people for blindness, right?
Yeah.
So my personal consent form includes up to 8 years. I mean, one of my trial cases is 15 years old around the orbit.
Hmm. And do you think that filler is just locked in a fibrotic capsule and that's why it's not getting broken down? Are you seeing capsular formation when it's lasting 7, 8, 9 years, 15 years?
No, it doesn't have a capsule. We don't need contrast. It's not inflammatory. There must be a low-grade granulomatous reaction, potentially. I think we have an immune reaction to any foreign body because it's not pure hyaluronic acid. It's got the BDE that cross-links, and the rheology is such that it's not like our human body. So our body has some sort of a reaction, but I can say that it is clearly sub-radiological. I can't see it.
Yeah.
So maybe we did a biopsy and saw it under a microscope, we'll see it. Radiologically, I don't see it. And if it's a granuloma, it's a granuloma. I see it. And they're rare, but I treat them with steroids, with the Hylenex or hyaluronidase, with a heavy dose of prednisolone 3 days back to back, and it usually resolves it.
Is there a call to action that we need to put towards our aesthetic filler companies about research that needs to be done or mandated? Because I think there is. I think reading back on rheology studies of when fillers first came out, really they've never done a study that shows the final degradation products of these fillers. They really haven't. They've done rat studies where fillers injected in the skin underneath the back of a rat and the filler persists for up to 1 year and begins to degrade, but they never completed the study. They just, The rats die before the filler goes away, unfortunately. So it may need to be another type of an animal or, something.
No, and the thing is, you could do animal studies, but as we know, animal studies to human trials very often do not translate. Cadaveric studies are going to be next to useless in this situation because you've got lymphatics, hydration, fluid, arteries, yeah, veins. So you've got, you know, the whole microbiome. It's live. I think I've been approached by some drug companies. I don't feel it's time for me to sell out because I want to keep my credibility strong,
yeah,
and stay unbiased for a very long time for now. Possibly a double read, I'm not sure, but that's the only thing, I guess. I'm not participating or playing ball yet because I prefer to stay non-biased for now.
No, I want you to stay non-biased, but I think we as injectors should demand some additional studies and research. Like, it's,
yeah,
it's like illogical for them to unleash this product on the general public and us as physicians and injectors, nurses and doctors around the world, and not give us a full pharmacologic study of how long does this truly last? What's the half-life? What's the breakdown? You know, what does it break down into? Like, I also have concerns that filler degradation products of these broken up hyaluronic molecules draw in so much water. They're so hygroscopic that they create puffiness and doughy filler face. I think that's, yep, also an issue.
Yep. The hyaluronic acid attraction of water is a big issue. And there was one paper that was published a few years back in an oculoplastic journal that described the molecular structure as it breaks down can attract more water. And that's probably why we're seeing these tear troughs come back, because all the grades, it can draw in more water, but we don't have enough conclusive evidence. But it kind of makes, I don't like to make a conclusion without the scientific evidence, you know. Hearsay in this industry is very common, I've noticed. And In biology, you know, we have annual scientific meetings. If you have any hearsay, you can't deliver anything with hearsay. But I think we have to be very careful, and, you know, clinicians and also people who are patients and the general public, just be very careful on what you read, because there's a lot of garbage out there.
Yeah, there is. And also, as injectors, we have a responsibility to be careful what words we put out into the digital universe and social media. If we start telling patients to have fear of filler or to avoid filler and only get filler every 5 years, like, we also have the power to influence how this industry rolls. And I think, like you said, the placement of product and the judgment of how much to use and when to use it is critical. We're running into problems because people are lacking judgment and injection skills. And that's probably the first problem.
You just got to get it right, put it in the right position in the first place. And very few of my patients the last 5 or 6 to come back, you know. So if you get it right, and then you review them and you learn how to keep people in check. Say, hey, I don't think you need more, or you only need half a syringe per thigh. I don't think there needs to be a huge, huge fear of filler. In my situation, I've got 6 mil still from the past, and the study that I did 4 mil, prior to that I had 2 mil, and the SUF area, all this orbital stuff still there on MR 33 months later. Now it's probably, you know, almost 4 years. I haven't had anything for at least 3 years. I'm probably going to clean slate. That's just what I think should happen. So I know the areas. Dissolve here, get rid of the SUF, and probably just do a little bit of a dose around the chin, and I might MR myself and see if it's gone. I mean, maybe I could do another case study on showing dissolution on MRI. That'll be pretty cool.
That would be very cool. All of this in the name of science, you and your handsome face. You're going to get all rugged. And maybe you should put back biostimulator fillers and see what happens then.
On that topic, let's talk about that. Exciting. Yeah. So I've had 1.5 approximate treatments of the product, the biomodulatory product called Profhilo.
Okay.
It's a new, completely revolutionary product. It's a pure hyaluronic acid. There's no local anesthetic in there. And it's... what they've done is they've baked in their own way, low molecular weight and high molecular weight, pure hyaluronic acid, which is very close to your own naturally occurring hyaluronic acid. And their point or their buzzword is bioaesthetic point. Sorry. Yeah. Bioaesthetic point technique, BAP, for skin lack. So it's a 5-point technique. And the important thing is that it's injected superficially in the hypodermis. You got to get it right. If you get in the subcutaneous fat, it ain't going to work.
Right.
It's got high flowability. It's got high cohesivity and low viscosity. So it's like got a consistency of honey. Comes in a 2-mil syringe. In the face, you've got 5 points, 5 points. In the neck, a total of 10 points. Mm. And it spreads up to 2 centimeters superficially in the skin. And it just improves the creping, elasticity, fine lines. It increases hydration. And it plumps just the skin. It doesn't volumize the face or increase the volume of the face. It's purely a skin treatment. So hopefully when you get to the US, the injectors need to understand that this is a different consultation. It's a skin discussion.
Right. That's so exciting. I've been hearing about Prophylo from Europeans for a long time. We don't have it here. There's word that Allergan is going to release something similar that's kind of a skin booster, but yeah. Still nothing in the U.S. But we're kind of doing – I'm doing a hyper-dilute technique with microneedling with Bellatero, which is mm-hmm. similar. It's like non-cross-linked, and it's, it seems to be very right. effective. Yeah, it kind of gives that glowy, hydrated look. But yes. I'm so excited to hear how you love it.
You could actually apply that 5-point technique if you've reduced the viscosity enough. I don't know whether you can work out how much it spreads, but the 5-point technique is at least 2 centimeters away from the canthus, inferiorly just here on this point, and then across from the ala, the tragus and ala and the iris, dead set there.
Yeah.
And auricular, there's a mandibular point. And then there's one pretty much over the mental foramen, but you can just draw a line here and across and a line there, and mm-hmm. you go to the center of the cross, the line of the outer commissure of the mouth in the middle, and just do a cross. Stick one there, stick.
Crazy that it can spread so far with such few application points.
Yeah, well, 0.2 mil per point, and not only does the patient find it a bit painful once the tension on the skin increases. I use local anesthetic and I also use my buzzer. Have you seen yeah. those? You've got buzzers as well. Everyone yeah. uses those. I think I experienced it without any anesthetic and it wasn't fun. And there's no local in the product. I had the buzzer on the areas with local on my second treatment and I only had 0.1 per point and 0.1 in the neck area. And I tell you what, even the neck area, the recoil of my skin over a period of 2 or 3 weeks. Oh, yeah. I'm loving it.
That's amazing. I love how you're doing so much experimentation on yourself. It's
like... I don't look weird yet, so I'm glad that has been too exciting.
This concept of resetting the face and dissolving our filler and starting fresh, it's a very appealing one. I think that there's actually going to be a market for that. And we've seen several movie stars do that where they dissolve, you know, Kylie takes her lips away or the Courtney Cox from Friends dissolved her whole face and looks so much better now. Do you think this is something we're going to see as a trend? And do we need to be doing this as injectors? Maybe we do.
I think we need to have that conversation, that earnest conversation with the patient and have a discussion on how they feel about it. A lot of patients are uncomfortable with the downtime because they're used to having no wrinkles yeah. and then they, you could do it in a stepwise process. So perhaps you start with the mid face, but the mid face is the biggest issue for everyone. You know, yeah. tear troughs is we hear, isn't it? Everyone just goes, I hate my bags under my eyes. I don't like my sagging. So the downtime is a problem and that's the discussion you have to have with the patient. It's probably worth it in the end. You probably only need 2 weeks. Some mm-hmm. patients do need more than dissolve.
Right. I think it is going to be a trend. I almost want to offer that as a package in our practice where we just like, can we reset your face and give you a redo? Because
I think you could do a corrective, you know, start up a day, have a corrective day. You draw up all your high lays in a row of syringes like I do. I aliquot them in units of about 100 per area, small area. I use about 50 to 100 per 0.1 to 0.2 mil of filler that I think is there. I don't know what that equates to.
That's what we're doing as well, about the same units, number of units, 100 units per. It comes in 100 unit vials in the U.S. It's super expensive. It costs like almost $300 for a 1 ml bottle.
We get 1,500 units for $300 if I like. It's not human.
It's very expensive here. But have you heard of the topical version of hyaluronidase that's now about to launch? Not impressed.
I'm not entirely convinced. I have to read a little bit more about it. I'm not sure. I think with the kind of long-term issues that I've seen, hundreds of cases now, I feel that it needs something more aggressive. And can it transport to the subdermis and the hypodermis? Yeah, that's fine. But most of these cases, they're in the subcutaneous superficial or deep layers. That's very deep for a topical to try to reach.
Perhaps so, maybe for lip filler. Maybe for a little bit of lip shadowing or lip filler migration, it might be an option.
Yeah, lip filler, you know, sometimes when you get that very, very superficial tindle in the lip, but you can use a fingernail to push it back in anyway. So a fingernail would probably be a lot easier to use.
Yeah, that's true. Radiology studies, what are you seeing when you see lip filler migration? And is there something we should be doing technique-wise to be sure to avoid it?
I think lip filler migration is, again, as we discussed at the time, I want to do a study. I got to get that organized to do probably 4 to 5 patients, scan them directly after the injection and follow them for about 2 years and show whether it moves or not with no refilling. Because I feel, and this is again anecdotal and it's not scientifically based, but what I've seen so far is most lip filler that's above the lip, it's intentionally been injected, or they don't know where the doctor has injected it, or they're overfilled lips. And what happens is I see under ultrasound, when I'm injecting under ultrasound guidance, when you're under full resistance, the least resistance is around the syringe and around the actual needle. So it goes around the all the way up the hilt. I'm like, oh, what are you doing? What are you doing? And I stop injecting and I find a less resistant area, like up against the bone, and make sure it squirts along that plane when I'm using a needle. So it does go around the actual needle. And if your needle is out of the lip, if you're doing, for example, vertical fences,
yeah,
it's going to squirt up that fence. And if you're above the lip in the vermilion, it's going to go around into the vermilion. The time of injection. So I feel at the time is the most common issue.
Yeah, that vertical fence technique has been controversial. And some people like Julie Horn are so good at it. And other people, I think when young injectors are trying or inexperienced injectors, it's quite hard to stop the filler before the edge of the vermilion and make sure you don't bleed out of the vermilion.
Yeah, I think it takes experience. I really like the technique, and it's got to be age appropriate as well. As you know, it has to be age appropriate.
Yeah, it's a lovely technique. I think it's just one of the things that puts people at risk for the filler migrating out of those multiple perforations around the lip.
And also, you know, we don't know yet, but are you damaging the skin and, you know, all the other kind of structural components of the lip when you keep smashing nonstop every few months?
Yeah, I'm sure. Do you think everyone should be using ultrasound in their offices routinely? Because I am not a big proponent of that, but I keep hearing it at every single meeting I go to. And still, I think, like, I'm not a radiologist. I'm not going to be able to, I can't even see the baby's sex on the ultrasound of the womb. How am I going to see little tiny arteries and little, anatomic details?
Yeah. Look, I don't know what the answer to that is. It's got its applications. I think I'm lucky in that I'm pre-trained and I've also been now using it on face for 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
So I feel that it will take a lot of time. It depends with the level of your experience and the degree of complications. If you're not getting that many, I can't see the reason why you ever need to integrate it. And all you need is your local friendly expert as a backup in the background for you, PRN, as you need them.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that there's definitely a learning curve, but I think it's a big burden to tell everybody in aesthetics to start using radiologic imaging for every injection. It would certainly be safer, and if I had you in the room next door, you would definitely help me. But
yeah, look, the place, for example, I don't use it on every patient, but for example, lips, very low risk. Superficial plane, if you've got enough experience, it shouldn't be an issue at all, right?
Right.
I definitely, when I'm dissolving, yes, different story. Chronic dissolves, you hopefully will have an expert in LA and you just send it to them. That's not your gig, you know. And you can do clinical dissolves. If that doesn't work after one or two times, send it over to an imaging expert, right? That's right. The next step.
Mm-hmm.
The pre-mapping, etc. Lips, I don't do. The cheeks, if they're a virgin, I have a look to make sure there's no anomalous anatomy, make sure there's no big artery across here, for example, which we had a case who had a VO in the past. The injector didn't want to inject her, so we ended up doing her. I had a look at that side, and there was that huge anomalous artery because we unoccluded her. So I said, all right, there's the artery. I drew a picture of where it was, and then we went with a cannula and avoided that area post. Temples, I do under ultrasound guidance for the superficial injections and deep injections. But that's because I'm extra paranoid. In terms of over the zygoma, probably no need. Using a cannula in the jawline, again, no need. Don't take this as gospel, but almost indefinitely over the angle of the mandible, I haven't seen a vessel there, ever.
Yeah, sure.
But don't take it as gospel, because one day there'll be a vessel there, so you're not using that information. Don't use it because one day there might be a vessel. But so far, so now when I do pinpoint in the masseter, technically it's in the masseter, let's be real, when you could do a deep bone injection,
yeah.
I wouldn't bother with ultrasound there either.
Nice.
So it's got its places. Or if someone has had a VO in the past, for example, in an area, there must be some sort of weird anatomy that we don't know about. We know our anatomy and we've done our routine injections and they've had a VO, it means therefore there must be something that's a bit odd.
Nice. Well, that's a really wonderful summary of like all the important sites for us to know. I can't thank you enough for joining us. I see we got one comment here that says face nurse Sarah is using a drop of hyalase to help with bruising and hematoma. So that's a nice tip. She's done it with great relief from the bruise. So nice
wow.
to contribute to our discussion. How are your twins?
They're good. Everyone's good. Everyone's fine. It's very busy.
I have twins. Mine are older now, but I know, like, I did not sleep for a whole year. So good luck with this first year of twins. It's hard. People,
there was someone having dinner next to us and they said, oh, we feel for you. We've got them too. And we said, oh, it gets better, doesn't it? And they said, we're still waiting for that. And they're 22.
Yeah, exactly. It gets harder and harder. Wait till you have two sets of SAT waiting. Tests. Yeah,
thank you for having me, and I really hope that this biomodulator does find its way into the US, because the results have been phenomenal and the feedback has been great. And the other, I didn't also mention, there's body applications, there's décolletage as well, which I've done. The hands are
amazing.
I'm raving too much, but the hands are ridiculous.
Wow, that's incredible. I can't wait to try that. Where are you coming to lecture next? Any meetings coming up?
I've got a lecture with the Royal Australasian College of Radiologists, the official annual college scientific meeting, this Friday in South Australia, Adelaide, in Australia. So I've got 25 minutes of a captive audience. So I'm looking forward to ramp a bit of aesthetic radiology down their throats and go, get interested. And because it's so new and radiologists don't know anything about it, they really enjoy it because they've never seen it before. Whereas, you know how a lot of meetings, we see the same thing over and over and over again. You know, we've heard it before. This is new, so it's exciting.
That's amazing. Well, I hope you get to lecture on the international circuit, or you definitely are welcome to come in LA anytime. It's like the capital of overfilled faces here. So we have a lot of work to do with hyalase and Hyalinex.
I'll come and visit you as well and maybe bring a portable scanner or something like that. We'll have some fun.
I would love that. Thank you so much. Everybody needs to go and follow Dr. Mobin Master. What are your handles on Instagram and your other social medias?
So my main one is just Dr. underscore master. Sorry, is it? Yeah, Dr. underscore master?
Yeah.
No, Dr. underscore MD. I don't even know my handle.
Dr. Master. We have tagged him in a few different stories, so you'll find it in our story post today and our permanent post all about this modern aesthetic chat. Yeah, so definitely go follow him, check him out, and thank you for experimenting on your own face. I can't believe that industry hasn't done this sooner. You're pioneering this. I'm so proud of you, and I think you're doing such great things for our industry. I hope you get more and more publications.
Thank you. Coming soon. Cheers.
Well, that's it for now, guys. Hope you learned so much information. Dr. Mobin Master is someone we should all keep our eye on. I think that his work with filler studies, filler longevity, and showing the true duration of how long filler lasts with MRI and ultrasound is revolutionary. And it's amazing that he's doing some of this on himself as a volunteer. All of us in our clinical practices, as we inject more and more people and we inject our own faces, we're going to find that filler has properties and characteristics that we never knew. So it's so important to make this field more of a factual, science-based, evidence-based field. So important to do these studies. Some of our industry colleagues in aesthetics are lagging behind, and we need to demand of these filler companies that they step up and do these long-term studies to help us, to help our patients, to maintain beauty and get the right duration of filler longevity for faces to not look distorted, overfilled, puffy, or doughy. That's it for now, guys. Don't forget to check out my other page. It's Modern Aesthetic Theory and Artistry on Instagram. That's where I teach. It's my passion to teach injectors all around the world tips and tricks to be the best at what we do. I think you'll love it. There's a free Instagram tribe which you can join and informally chat and ask your questions. Send us a DM if you're interested. You can find me on my Instagram. It's Beauty by Dr. K, D-R-K-A-Y, doing amazing things with people's faces. And Dr. Mobin Master, don't forget to check him out. His Instagram is in our caption below. We love you so much. Stay beautiful.